This is Dial a Saint, introducing St. Charles Borromeo. How would people receive the news that a new pope had just raised his 22-year-old nephew from deacon to cardinal, made him his personal secretary, and bestowed on him many titles and honors? Certainly a few eyebrows would be raised at what appeared to be a church abuse in the 1500s, when many errors and heresies were becoming popular. But these people were proven wrong. Charles Borromeo was born into a family of six in 1538. His father was a count, and his mother was a member of the important Italian Medici family. Charles was a very serious and devout young man. When he was just 12, he entered into the clerical order of deacon. He did well in school and went on to complete his doctorate in civil and church law at the University of Padua. His university life was difficult. There was much recitation, and a speech impediment made him the focus of much tasteless humor. Neither did knowledge come easily. Only by constant systematic studying and budgeting of his time was he able to succeed. His parents gave him just enough allowance to tightly control his spending, which was in sharp contrast with the majority of the college students who foolishly spent much of their time and money. Pope Paul IV died soon after Charles completed his university studies, and his successor was his own uncle. One of the first actions of this new pope was to name his favorite nephew, now only 22 years old, as a cardinal of the church, the papal secretary, administrator of the See of Milan, and bestowed on him various titles and honors, all of which carried additional duties. Even though Charles was required to work in Rome, he kept up with affairs in Milan, in the hope that one day he could reside in his see. The efficient study habits he acquired during college now served him well, and he was able to complete his large daily workload by taking care of one task at a time. He also took time to form a Vatican Literary Academy for clergy and laymen, kept up his interest in playing the cello, and exercise regularly. He maintained a beautiful home and entertained in the customary Renaissance manner, but he was not caught up by the material trappings. In frustration, he once remarked to a close friend, "You know what a position I am in to be the Pope's nephew and his favorite at that. You also know of the infinite dangers when one lives in the court of Rome. What should I do, as young as I am, with so little experience? I should like to go to a monastery where I can serve only God." In 1562, the Pope reconvened the Council of Trent and directed Charles to complete its unfinished work since its meetings had been suspended 10 years earlier by Paul IV. It was largely through Charles' efforts that its sessions met as planned and were successfully brought to completion. He acted as liaison between council members, carrying their questions to the Pope, and then explaining and rallying support for the papal reply. He supervised the completion of the Catechism of the Council of Trent, which is called today the Roman Catechism, and assisted in reforms in liturgy and church music. About the same time, Charles's older brother died, leaving the management of the Borromeo family household in his care. This was the point at which Charles had to decide his future: either resign his church titles to lead the family or enter religious life. Charles turned over all the family affairs to an uncle and entered the priesthood in 1563. 2 months later, he was consecrated as Bishop of Milan. Later, Charles resigned his papal duties and moved to Milan in 1566. Conditions in the city were not good because no bishop had resided there in 80 years. Only a small part of his sizable personal income was used for necessary needs. The rest he spent for charity. One evening he was found studying in his cold, unheated room, wearing a very old and tattered cassock. When it was suggested he wear something warmer, he replied that this was his only one which he had used for summer and winter. His day began with confession and mass. His household contained almost 100 salaried clergy, who were instructed to never accept presents from anyone. He established the Confraternity of Christian Doctrine instruction classes for children, eventually involving 40,000 pupils, 3,000 catechists, and 740 schools. He initiated a society of priests called the Oblates of St. Ambrose, who pledged loyalty to the bishop as he would direct them. During his 18 years as Bishop of Milan, Charles called for provincial councils, diocesan synods, encouraged yearly retreats for his clergy, opened seminaries, and regularly visited his parishes. But his reforms were not always enthusiastically received. The Senate and governor often sided with dissident priests in complaining to the king and pope about this traitor who they claimed was usurping the king's rights. Some religious orders refused his jurisdiction and actually locked him out of their churches. One group of priests went so far as to choose one of their own to assassinate him for 40 pieces of gold. The attempt failed when the bullet did not penetrate his robes. Poor crops caused a famine for 3 months, during which he was responsible for feeding 3,000 people daily. Later, a plague broke out, which was so severe that the governor and most of the nobility of Milan fled town. Charles wrote a letter to them in which he called them cowards and reminded them of their duties to the citizens. His loyal priests and laity responded to his personal example of caring for the sick and dying. There was such a need for food that Charles sold everything he could and borrowed heavily to daily feed between 60,000 and 70,000 persons. Even cathedral linens and draperies were used to make clothing for the needy. Houses for the sick were built, and altars were placed in the streets so those at home could hear Mass. Charles died when he was just 48 years old, and he was declared to be a saint in heaven in 1610. Those who knew him said that his life was absolutely stainless, and his piety and devotion gave good example to all. Much good was accomplished by his example, as he truly lived his life in the spirit of the Council of Trent. The love we show for ourselves as God's children, exemplified in the way we treat others, is the true measure of how much we love God.